Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Delta and United get busted for selling window seats without windows. And what is the price of gold status? Frontier Airlines says $69. Those stories and more next in the travel news.
Under current rules with Southwest's free bags going away, what's the best strategy to avoid bag fees? Mark has a few tips in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25.
Listeners send questions to travelguysradio.com, and we try to answer as many as we can individually by return mail. Once every couple of months, we pull together a bunch of your questions for a segment we call the Mailbag. Hear your questions and our answers starting at 11:35.
Thank you for the pleasure of your company on this already toasty Saturday morning. Welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, always brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Welcome. It is a toasty Saturday, and Mark, a little toasty where you are, too. Tell us about it.
It is. I've been in Oklahoma City this week working on our Route 66 Centennial Tours for next year. The old highway, the Mother Road, is going to turn 100 years old next year, and we are going to be offering some trips along it. It is truly, truly the main street of America, and Oklahoma City is about pretty close to the halfway point here. So I've been out working on some things to put the trips together for next year. It's humid and hot in Oklahoma. I don't recommend it in August. That would be my biggest thought. People here are very nice. I'm not particularly on board with all the politics here, but nice people, an interesting place, very flat, very flat. Did I mention it was flat?
Yeah, you did. You know, Oklahoma, comparably speaking, and we think about it a lot because of Sacramento's size of our community regionally, market size and so forth. And we have our Sacramento Kings, and everybody always goes, well, you know, small markets like Sacramento and Oklahoma, you know, they're not going to do very well in the NBA because they're small cities. But, you know, Oklahoma has showed that they, just like Sacramento, they can, well, we're hoping anyway, can be a big city from time to time.
Yeah, well, they've got this NBA championship kind of thing going on here. So that would be, if that ever happened in Sacramento, I'm not going to say they would burn the town down because I don't think that would be a bad thing. But I think the joy would overflow over the Sierra Nevada mountain range.
Well, there you go. Well, that just shows that market size in reality, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. If you've got the money to spend in today's major league sports empire, why then, and you have a little luck, sometimes you can bring home the bacon. Don't talk to the Giants about that. They inherited a $270 million contract this summer and went. So rest in peace, Giants.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, let's find out what's been going on in the travel news since we spoke last week. And with today's edition of the travel news, once again, Mark, what you got for us?
Well, the most humorous travel story to come along in a long, long, long time. For those of us who work with airlines on a regular basis, or if you fly and you have your frustrations with them, you must be smiling at the fact that a couple of lawsuits were filed last week, class action lawsuits against airlines, specifically Delta and United. You know, you go online, you pick out your seat, and aisle seat, middle seat, window seat, first class, economy, business, whatever it is that you want. You can go and look at the whole seating chart there, and by golly, you pick out a window seat on a plane, you think you're sitting next to a window. But on Delta and United, that wasn't always the case. As many of us know, there is a row of seats on almost every plane where there is wiring and the light going through the wall, and therefore there's not a window there. But United and Delta, unlike their competitors, told people that, well, I mean, they led them to believe that there was a window there. They were buying a window seat. They got on a plane. There's no window. People paid money for that. So it's they say it's deceptive, unlawful conduct and breach of contract. With the contract with the affected passengers. So some of them have gotten together and filed suit against the airlines. Now, of course, this is not a lot of money. it's 50, 75, 100, 200 bucks, depending on the distance that you're flying. But nonetheless, Delta and United's competitors figured out that you could tell people that, hey, you're buying a seat that would normally be a window seat, but there is no window there. There's an X on the seating chart, which is explained that that's a windowless seat. So while you're still getting what in essence is next to the side of the plane, you're not in a window. For some reason, Delta and United decided not to do that. They fly hundreds of Boeing 737, 57, and Airbus 321 aircraft in which at least one of the wall adjacent seats has an air conditioning duct or electrical wiring in replace of a window. Imagine, Tom, just imagine all the people who have sat next to that windowless window all of this time and thousands, hundreds, thousands of flights a day. This could add up to a reasonably big sum of money, not for one person necessarily, but for the airlines. And how do you settle with all of these people? Now, here's my guess. The airlines will figure out the error of their ways. Somebody will probably get canned over this. But my guess is they'll come back and try to offer everybody who was impacted by this a refund of some type, maybe a free upgrade in the future and some kind of flight credit or something like that to make this go away. But I just have to tell you, it has caused me much joy and happiness over the last few days. I laughed for 5 minutes when the item came up on the news that the airlines were being nailed for this, because this has got to be the stupidest thing in history. Wouldn't you agree?
I have to agree. I flew recently and saw that windowless seat. I guess you could call it a, you know, if you just want to lean against the wall. But yeah, I mean, that is unconscionable. I can't understand how they expect people to not complain. And yeah, I think they will fork out some money over this.
If you go online, you will see people's comments over this. And those are equally, I mean, you could go down a rabbit hole and just have an amusing time for quite some time. But anyways, somebody blew it. I mean, really and truly, how hard would it have been? And my guess is people would have still bought those seats. I mean, you know, there are people who online who said, I buy that seat intentionally because there's no window and it's easier to lean against the side of the plane.
That's right.
And so they actually prefer that. So anyways, I just thought it was incredibly humorous. The airlines are always sticking it to us. And this very one time, in a very small way, the consumer is so right and the airlines are so wrong. And we'll keep an eye on this and let you know how it comes out. Listen, Hertz is going to start selling cars on Amazon Autos. They sell, of course, Hertz sells hundreds of thousands of vehicles a year. I'm assuming they will run all these vehicles through their repair detention or their damage
detector
tunnel and make sure that you're getting a good deal. Anyway, customers will live within 75 miles of four major cities, Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, and Seattle, can start browsing for Hertz cars on Amazon as soon as next week. So if you're looking for a car, you can buy one from Hertz by way of Amazon. Good luck with that. As many of you know who are listeners, I'm a former Hertz customer. Southwest Airlines is changing something that they do here. This is not going to be a big deal for a lot of people, but for some people it may be. If you know someone who is considered by the airlines a person of size, that's somebody who is a little bit too big to fit in one seat, which is defined by being able to bring the armrest down and the person being able to be inside that seat. Southwest has always had a rule: if you were a person of size, you could buy a second seat, and regardless, even if the flight was sold out, Southwest would refund you for that second seat. So that made it a nice convenience for larger people. Southwest is changing that rule as part of their remake, and that person of size policy is going away. So if you have taken advantage of that in the past, it's changing a little bit. You can still buy the second seat. However, if you wait until you get to the airport, you will pay the prevailing rate, which means that you'll pay the walk-up rate for the extra seat, and Southwest will only refund you that seat if the flight is not sold out. So if it's sold out, you won't get a refund. You might have to pay more. So if you're a person of size who has taken advantage of the Southwest policy in the past, or you know someone, importantly, who has taken advantage of this, why then what you need to do is before you book another Southwest ticket is maybe call Southwest and have a discussion with them, or just be prepared for the fact that the rules are a little bit different. Listen, our buddy Ben Schlappig at One Mile at a Time has published a great article about the headline is, Can You Redeem Hotel Points for Others? Yes, you just have to know how. And Ben goes down and breaks it down for about the top six, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven hotel companies. So I have posted a copy at travelguysradio.com. So if you are looking to redeem your hotel points for someone else, for one of the seven major hotel programs, my suggestion is go to travelguysradio.com and read that article. I didn't want to go over it on the air because it would be confusing to folks and take a tremendous amount of time. From our friends at Travelers United comes a warning about airline tickets. This happens a lot, and the example that they give happens probably as much as any of them. People don't pay attention when they buy an airline ticket, and sometimes it doesn't have the right destination, the right place. The most common in the country is people who want to go to Costa Rica, to San Jose, Costa Rica, the capital of the country. They end up with a ticket to San Jose, California. Occasionally it's reversed. So our Travelers United friends are reminding you that when you buy an airline ticket, there's a really important thing to do, and that is read. And if your ticket is online, then you want to at least go to your online confirmation and make sure that it says exactly what it is that you want. Take a deep breath, check the dates, the days of the week, the destinations. Make sure that you got the flight that you wanted. Remember, on almost every airline, in for the first 24 hours, if you bought it directly from the airline, you can get a refund, no questions asked. So you can call and fix that. Sometimes you have to cancel the seat and then rebook it. But there are lots of ways to be able to solve that particular problem. So that's just a suggestion to you. If you make an error on an airline ticket, remember that you have 24 hours to be able to fix that without it costing you any money at all. And that is your travel news for today.
Look, I digress for just a second. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. I noticed that, and I don't know if this is consistent, but I've had an opportunity to sit a little closer to the front of the Southwest plane, and and it was a Max 8, and I noticed that the seat closest to the window appeared to be smaller than the middle seat or the seat in the aisle. And I got out my ruler or what proximity of one and measured it. And it's like 2 inches at least, maybe more, smaller than the middle or the aisle seat. Now, is that only in the, let's say, the first 6-8 rows in the front because a plane's kind of pointy, you know? And
there you go.
Do they become more regular across the board when you go back? So there you go is the answer, right?
It's that pointy part. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you sit up in the front, you will find on some aircraft that the seats are just slightly smaller, the breath for your butt, so to speak, is just slightly smaller. Hey, listen, I need to do a go back to here. In the headlines, we talked about Frontier Airlines offering a status for $69. Indeed, you can pay a $69 fee to Frontier and you will become a gold member of their status in there. It allows you a free carry-on bag, includes complimentary upgrades to upfront seating, a free seat assignment at booking. Looks like if you're a Frontier Airlines flyer, that there is maybe some value here, but they're going to extract $69 from you up front. So regardless of how many times you use it, if you fly Frontier Airlines, you might want to take a look at this possibility. And also very quickly, Alaska and Hawaiian Airlines have officially combined a frequent flyer program. So if you are a frequent flyer on either one of those programs or both, you might want to go and check out your account, make sure that everything meshed perfectly and that all your miles, points, whatever, are exactly where they are supposed to be. And for the second time, that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. And a quick reminder that here in the month of August, Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House still got that special going on. If you haven't had a chance to take advantage of it, or you're just hearing about it for the first time, it's a prime rib and prawns for $34.95. You get that generous cut of famous slow roasted prime rib paired with those fabulous golden fried prawns that they make there, baked potato, warm sourdough, French bread, all for $34.95. Available every night for dinner and lunch Tuesday through Friday at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. Remember now, Rudy's also has the Monday night dinner special for two. $70 gets you a choice of five different entrees, including lobster, chicken marsala, prime rib, golden fried prawns, or filet bourguignon. So it's all there at Rudy's. Remember now, you tell them that the Travel Guys sent you, but that doesn't get it for free. I've had people try that. Hey, the Travel Guys sent me. Give me my meal. No. You still got to pay $34.95. Or you could ask for the Travel Guy special, which is $29.95 for a 6-ounce lobster tail. Once again, Rudy's Hideaway, right off of Highway 50 off on Hazel. All right? Right off 50 on Hazel. That's right. Okay. Good Saturday morning to you. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here to make you a smarter traveler. By the way, coming up in the back half of the show, we're going to dig into the Travel Guys mailbag, some great questions and answers that Mark's going to have for you there that truly will make you a smarter traveler. All right, Mark, let's talk about free bags. It's so exciting to get free bags if you used to be a Southwest flyer and now you're not. I mean, and now you're going to have to pay for bags. I have a Southwest card and a Rapid Rewards program, and so I get one free bag for me and the people traveling with me. But if I didn't have that, uh-huh, Mark, what would I do?
Well, you're obviously, if you've got a big old, you know, steamer trunk, although some people do try to bring these on airplanes, if you've got a big old steamer trunk, why, then you're going to have to check it and pay for it. But if you've got one of those in-between bags and you're like, well, you know, this is kind of heavy and I could check it. But, you know, what you can do is take the bag through security and take it up to the gate. And in almost every case now, unless you're flying first flight in the morning or last flight at night, the planes are pretty full. So inevitably, we all hear this announcement, ladies and gentlemen, we have a limited amount of space in the overheads on board. Stop me when you've heard this. And so we're probably going to need to check about 15, 20 bags to make sure that we have room for everybody's bag on board. When that announcement is made, you take that bag that you otherwise would have paid $35 or $40 to check downstairs, and you take them. You just take it up to the counter and give it to the person at the counter, and they will make it happen for you. And now you've saved the bag. Now, there's one important thing here. Airlines, and I watched this happen on my way to Oklahoma City this week. When you check your bag at the counter, there's two things that can happen. One is that they will give you a claim check for a gate checked bag, and that one you will pick up in the jetway. Otherwise, you will pick it up at baggage claim. So it's important when you make that little maneuver that you find out which place that your bag is going to. Is it going to be plane side, in which case you get off and wait for it to come upstairs, or is it going to be downstairs? Because you certainly don't want to go all the way downstairs, find out that you left your bag upstairs. It would take a while for it to get down there. Does that all make a little bit of sense?
Makes a lot of sense. In fact, if you've ever noticed, the jetway right before you go into the plane has a little door that goes outside, and there are stairs, and there is a ramp that they slide the bag, mm-hmm, down. It crashes to the bottom, and then they take and schlep it into the bottom of the plane. So, yeah, that could be very confusing. You know, occasionally when you get off a plane, you might even see a bag sitting there that they've already brought it up to you, but... yeah, you better pay close attention, you know. I saw a lot of bags that just did not look like they should be in the plane. Now, if you take the bag and it's oversized and you get all the way onto the plane and you're in the process of getting ready to put it in the overhead, and a flight attendant says, "So I'm sorry, this bag is too big." So do they have to then drag it back down the aisle and take it out and
knock off 12 bucks
and all of that?
Well, yes. I mean, that happens sometimes on board planes. People get all the way down the aisle and, you know, there's no place for the bag to go. So it's going to have to come all the way back up, and then it's going to have. But again, you want to know. And sometimes they will ask you, do you want this at bag claim? In which case, here's the way you know. If you gate check it and they print out a luggage tag and they wrap it around your bag, you know, the big old thing with all of the goopy area on it, and mm-hmm. it's attached to your bag and real hard to get off, mm-hmm. that bag is going to come down to baggage claim. If you check it, you get down the gateway there, and there's onto your plane, and there's no room for the bag on board, or even at the gate, they hand you a little, you know, it just looks like a little claim check. They attach something to your bag with a number on it, and they give you the different color. They saw it off and give it to you at the counter. Then that's going to be a bag that's going to come back up. You're talking about that little slide. So if you're confused at all, just make sure that you ask. But if they're putting a tag around the handle of your bag, and it's got all those numbers printed on it and the barcode and all that stuff, then your bag is coming to baggage claim.
And don't tell them that the travel guys told you to do this.
No, and the other thing is, please, this is not an endorsement to bring the largest bag in history onto the airplane. It's an opportunity for those people who travel with reasonably sized bags, and they don't want to have to pay for it, but they really don't want to have to put it up, you know, rack it and take it down and schlep it through the airport. You'll only have to schlep it one way, and you won't have to pay for it. So it's a small thing, but a lot of people have already figured this out, trust me. And the airline, it doesn't seem to bother them. They lose a lot of revenue over it, but if you can get it up to the gate, why, then you can gate check it there and save yourself 30 or 40 bucks.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
If you are a mature traveler and you love to hit the road, I have an idea for you. Sacramento's favorite tour company, Sports Leisure Vacations, is having their annual tour preview day when our annual catalog will be rolled out. It is Saturday, September the 20th. It's at the Sophia, the B Street Theater Complex downtown. There is a $10 admission charge. We give all that money to charity. If you would like to join us, there are still a few seats left for both the morning and afternoon presentations. You can give Sports Leisure Vacations a call at 916-361-2051 on Monday. That's Tour Preview Day for mature travelers, especially Sports Leisure Vacations, Saturday, September 20th. Hope you will join us.
Awesome, awesome. Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. And as always, you know, it's the kind of thing, if you want to get in on some of these trips early, it's best to go to the show because they sell out fast. I talk to Mark, I go, okay, what are we going to talk about? And he goes, well, we don't have any, we're running out of inventory. Tough business to be in.
Yeah, it is. We have Tom, if we can just take a second here, at Sports Leisure Vacations, I am blessed with the most wonderful people who travel with us. And I mean, group travel is not for everybody, but as you get a little older and you decide that, hey, I don't want the hassle of planning all this stuff myself. But I want to travel with somebody who stays in decent hotels and does fun things and goes to places that I wouldn't normally find on my own. And then you've got the pleasure of having people to share your experiences with along the way. Like I said, it's not for everybody. But if it's for you, Sports Leisure Vacations is where you should be. So, and that tour preview day is really important, as you mentioned, Tom, because of the popularity of the trips. Many of them fill up very quickly after that event. So getting a copy of the catalog and getting in early is really important.
All right. As promised here on the Travel Guys, we're going to dip into the Travel Guys mailbag and answer some listeners' questions that have been sent in. By the way, they get sent to us by way of our website, travelguysradio.com. There's a place right there on the homepage to put in your question. And as Mark mentioned, some of them, we'll just answer them by mail. And on occasion, like today, they're going to get answered on the radio. So let's get to it. Okay, Mark, here we go. Alicia writes, how long before there is more parking at the airport? And From what I've been observing, they're getting it done a little at a time. She said that she spent 20 minutes looking for a space the other day. It's pretty frustrating. She wants to know, she's been talking about this. We've been talking about this before. But do you have any updates on the new garage and when it might be finished?
Let me ask you first, Thomas. You just went to Las Vegas last week. So how was the parking situation at the airport?
Well, Mark, I've mentioned this on the show a few times. I don't park. I beg a ride, however it may be. If I have to ride in the back of my friend's pickup truck, I will get a ride. But I can tell you by just driving by and watching the people, and particularly those that seem to be running you down on the walking sidewalks, that it is probably still pretty tough.
It is. I can just see, I have this picture of you and your lovely wife Stephanie in the back of a pickup truck going down. If you're driving down the road, you see two nice people in the back of a truck. That could be Tom and Stephanie. So roll down your window and say hi to them. More seriously.
Yeah, there's nothing like getting a ride from someone. So, you know, work on that. You know, also, if you're a mature traveler, which I fall into that category, and the ladies that travel with me, you know, schlepping your bag and walking that extra distance is just not any fun. So it really cuts down on a lot of that as well.
Yeah, but of course, if you get a ride with somebody else, why then when they travel, then you would be their ride. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, the whole Uber thing or avoiding having to park at the airport. But back to Alicia here, who
yes.
has to park at the airport.
Good question.
Wants to know when that new garage is. Yeah, when the new garage is going to be finished. The answer is fourth quarter of next year with any luck. So a little bit more than a year, we're going to have to tolerate the parking situation. This is the deal. If you have an ODARK 100 flight in the morning, you're on one of those 5:15 suckers and you got to get there at 3:15 in the morning, then there's going to be parking in the garage. There's going to be parking in the daily lot. There's going to be plenty of spaces to park. If you're getting to the airport after 5:36 in the morning, now you're going to be much further out in the daily lot. The garage spaces are going to start to become fewer and further between. And probably sometime around 10, 11, 12 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be relegated on many days to the economy lots, which are further out. So my suggestion to you, if you're leaving Sacramento Airport and you're getting to the airport, never mind when your flight's departing, but you're arriving at the airport after 9, 10 o'clock, you can figure that there's a pretty good chance you're going to be in an economy lot, or you're at least going to be far out in a daily lot. And the reason I'm just going over this is because that takes more time and you're going to need more time to get into the airport. So make sure you allow yourself that full 2 hours after arrival at the airport. If everything goes well, you may have to sit at the gate a little while and twiddle your thumbs. But listen, there's a lot of things that can go wrong at an airport, especially in the summertime when it's busy. So, like I said, the folks who are going when we're all still sleeping in the morning, parking spots are a little easier to come by. But later in the day, in the middle of the day, they're tougher. You get to later in the day, and now spots start opening up because now inbound passengers have come and left in some open parking spaces. So if you're on a flight at 6, 7 o'clock at night, you may very well luck out into some better parking at the airport. So I hope that helps you, Alicia. The garage is still a little over a year. The new garage is still a little over a year away.
You know, in reality, to build something that large that's going to do that much, that's still a pretty quick turnaround. Mohammed writes, he said, I made a reservation online with a hotel and they did not honor it. He never received any sort of confirmation. This is a pretty long letter, so we can't go into all the details. But, Mark, I understand you wrote the listener back. And what did you find out? He never received a confirmation?
He never got a confirmation online for his reservation. So that means that either it was most likely it didn't go through. He hit the wrong button. He thought he had booked it and confirmed it. Maybe he didn't. He didn't mention. He said he made the reservation online with a hotel, but he didn't mention, nor in our short conversation, did he clarify whether or not he had booked it through a third party, you know, booking.com or Travel Advisor or some Trip Advisor or something like that. But the bottom line to all of this is when you book a hotel reservation, you should be getting an online confirmation of some type. Now, if you're somebody who doesn't use a computer, that presents a special challenge. You need to get a copy of that confirmation somehow. But if you book something online or you book it over the phone, you should be getting a confirmation online. And when you book it, if you book it by speaking to somebody, the confirmation number can be given to you right then. and you can make a note of it. If it comes to, if you book online, then you're going to get some sort of confirmation, and it's going to have a number on it, and it's going to confirm the dates and the, you know, what the other information, what the check-in time and check-out time and stuff like that. If the bottom line is you book online and you don't get some sort of confirmation, you want to pick up the hotel really within 24 hours. It should show up within a few minutes, but if it's not there within 24 hours, you don't have a confirmation, something happened, you're in trouble, you need to get in touch directly with the hotel.
Yeah, I've been down that road on more than one occasion where I don't get a confirmation, and it makes me crazy. I will get on the phone probably before 24 hours and call them back and say, I'm not seeing this confirmation. You know, or if you change a flight and you're supposed to get a confirmation notice from the airline that the flight has been changed and I don't get one of those, I'm on the phone calling, say, I haven't gotten an email. I need to know because, like you say, I mean, if you're not getting a confirmation, then you're not confirmed, and either your hotel or your flight or whatever may not be happening. So there's our advice. All right, we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Let's do one more before we take a quick time out. Jonathan wants to know simply the best amount of time for connecting flights.
I'd say, Jonathan, about an hour and 15 minutes to 2 hours. Depends on the size of the airport. But, for example, in Denver, United's in three different concourses. In Chicago, they're in three different concourses. In Denver, Southwest is in one concourse. So a little easier connection there. Maybe an hour would be enough. Remember, airlines are now starting to board. Southwest boards about 35 minutes before departure. The other carrier's 40, 45 minutes. Southwest will probably change that soon because with assigned seats, it's going to take a little bit longer for them to board their aircraft. So keep in mind that if you're in a low boarding group or you value the ability to get on board and be able to stow your carry-on luggage and stuff like that, you're in a low-numbered boarding group. If you get to the gate late, you will miss that opportunity. So if your connection is 50 minutes and you need to check to hit the restroom and maybe grab a snack on the way to the next gate, you're not going to get there in 10 minutes. So really and truly, I recommend an hour and 15 minutes as a minimum. An hour will sometimes do it. You get down to 45 minutes and stuff like that, you're really taking a chance unless you physically have the ability to really hot foot it through the airport and you don't have anybody in tow, a child, somebody doesn't walk real fast, something like that. Be careful with those connecting times. The other thing, too, is that if you've got a really tight connection, the airlines won't always do this, but it doesn't hurt to tell the gate agent at the gate you're leaving, hey, my flight is leaving in 42 minutes. I'm going to B27. Will you please tell him that Mr. Hoffman is on his way? A good gate agent will pick up the phone, call the departing gate and say, hey, Mr. Hoffman is on his way, and they might hang on for you for a minute or two. It never hurts to give that a shot.
There you go. And another piece of suggestion, if you're at the airport and you like to wear headphones all the time, I see this a lot, particularly young people. They got their headphones on, listening to music, whatever. And you're sitting at the gate or whatever, and you've got the headphones on, and the gate says, by the way, your flight has been changed. You are no longer leaving from this gate B14. We have moved you to C22. And you're sitting there. You don't hear it. And then pretty soon they're saying,
it happens all the time.
They're saying, Mr. Romano, we need you at gate C22. We're boarding. You have 2 minutes. And so, you know, you hear it all the time. You see it all the time, don't you, Mark?
Yes, it happens frequently. I watched it happen once just a couple weeks ago. Be careful about zoning out at the airport.
Here we are on the radio in TravelGuysRadio.com podcast. We're Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys. Back to the mailbag we go. Are you ready, Mark?
Well, I am ready.
All right. Valerie writes that my husband and I are going on a cruise this fall and departs from Hong Kong. I'm trying to convince him that we should go 2 to 3 days ahead of time. He says the cruise is 2 weeks long and he doesn't want to be gone any longer than that. And I say, well, we should allow an extra day or two in case something goes wrong. And besides, I'd like to see a little Hong Kong while we're there. What can she tell him to convince him in her favor, Mark?
She's right. He's not going to want to hear that, but she's right. You, especially for someplace like Hong Kong, any kind of a cruise, never, ever, ever fly in on the day of departure. I would even say flying in the night before departure is a little bit risky. depending on how much you paid for the cruise and how far away it is. But overseas, like Hong Kong, even if you didn't want to go sightseeing, you want to be there two nights before the cruise departs. Also gives you a chance, a big, you know, time change on your body clock and all that stuff. So absolutely, if you're going on a cruise, you really want to be in the departure city two nights before departure, really and truly.
We have stressed that many, many times, and I've talked to people who have their flight didn't get there. They flew the day of, you know, especially Hong Kong. My gosh, it's a long ways to go just to get on a cruise. All right, Thelma, we haven't traveled on a train for many years, she says, and they're now looking to do a cross-country trip on Amtrak. Mark, can you suggest a good scenic route? And I know there are many.
Yeah, there are several. The Empire Builder that runs across the top of the country out of Seattle or Portland is a cool route. The California Zephyr to Chicago is a great route. Some of the intercity routes on the East Coast, yeah, not quite as scenic. There's the Southwest Chief, which will take you reasonably close to the Grand Canyon. You can't see the Grand Canyon from the train, but you can make a side trip there. So there are lots of very scenic Amtrak routes, and it's a lot more leisurely. My suggestion also to you, really important, before you take a 2 or 3 or 4 night cross-country train trip, or you're going up to the Canadian Rockies and you're going to take the Rocky Mountaineer or something like that, you've never done anything like that before, my suggestion is get on an Amtrak train, ride the Coast Starlight. That's a really scenic route. It's an overnight trip, take you up to Seattle or down to Los Angeles. That would be a way of getting accustomed to what and acclimated to what goes on the train. So overnight on a train is very different than overnight in a hotel. So if you're planning on an extensive train journey, I would suggest that you take a short overnight journey first to acclimate yourself to the way things are handled on board the train.
Good suggestion. Okay. I'm going to butcher this name. And Kel writes, see a lot of ads advertising how they can get you first-class seats for free, or practically for free. The ads are all over the Internet. Her question is, the person's question is there a secret to getting free or reduced price upgrades?
No, there is not. Let me say that again. No, there is not. Every airline has a frequent flyer program, and upgrades are granted based on the status, generally, of that. You don't walk up and give the flight attendant flowers or the gate agent or the counter agent or something like that and get upgraded that way. I suppose it's possible, and maybe it still happens. But there are lists and stuff published all the time now, so people are on those lists or up towards the top. They're watching to see if they clear their upgrades or not. And the airline would get in a lot of trouble if they went over those frequent flyers. So join a frequent flyer program and fly a lot. That gives you the more you fly, the higher you are up the list, the better chance you have at upgrades. I'm a pretty high flyer on a couple of airlines. I will tell you, they are selling a lot more first class seats because they're pricing them much more reasonably. So my suggestion to you of how to get to first class is keep an eye on things. Sometimes a round trip coach trip is $600, but the round trip first class might be $900 or $1,000, $1,200. It used to be 3 or 4 times more. Sometimes it's not even double now. So one of the ways to scoop first class is be willing to spend a little bit more money and shop and do your homework.
Another question that comes to the Travel Guys mailbag at travelguysradio.com comes in from Samantha. And boy, we've talked about this more than once, and it is getting better. She has a complaint about the Sacramento airport. There aren't enough places to get something to eat, especially early in the morning. Huh?
Changes may be coming. If you've been out at the airport lately, there are new food eateries going in both terminals. And we have talked to the airport folks about this. This is a complaint that comes up often and is mentioned often, especially if you're, you know, they've started flying an hour earlier, but they haven't opened the eateries an hour earlier. So you get out there at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're hungry. You want something to eat. You're about to get on an airplane with a tight connection and going to be 7-8 hours before you get a chance to eat again. So patience. I really believe changes are coming. Next time we have the gentleman, Scott, from the airport on with us, we will talk to him and get an update on those very things. But I think some changes are coming, and I think you're going to like what's going to happen.
Louisa says, if you buy a ticket and then the airfare drops, and I've had this happen, and the airfare drops, can you get a refund?
The answer is sometimes. Some airlines will reissue your ticket at a lower fare. Some will issue a travel voucher good towards a future ticket for the difference. Some will require you to cancel your ticket and buy a new one at the new price. Little bit of risk there, because if you cancel your ticket and something changes, you know, prices change pretty frequently, you could be stuck in no man's land. Here's my suggestion. Buy the new, if they are requiring you to cancel your ticket and buy a new one, buy the new one first. Now you know you have it. You know the price is lower. Now you go back in and cancel the old ticket, and there you are. Of course, some of those situations are going to require talking to a human, and that's a whole other issue when it comes to the airlines. But nonetheless, the answer, if the fare goes down, sometimes you can get either a credit or a refund, or there's a way to get the ticket issued at the new rate and get a full credit for the ticket you've already bought.
And with what Mark just said, it's a good reason for you to go back and look at the prices, especially if you booked several months ahead of time, because it's quite often that the flight prices will go down. And if they go down significant enough, then that's the time to go ahead and buy that new ticket and cancel the old. All right. We are doing the mailbag here with the travel guys. Bob says, we heard you talking about rental cars in some kind of damage tunnel and taking pictures of the car. And I think we missed some of that, Mark. So we're renting a car in New England in September and want to make sure that we are smarter travelers.
Well, we kind of make a little bit of reference to this earlier here in the mailbag, earlier in the program. Hertz now is using an AI tunnel to check cars for damage when they come back, which is fine as long as you've got a baseline to start with and you're not sticking it to your customers by charging them for a rock that hit the side of the car or something like that. When you rent a car, you want to go around and take, I would say, 6 or 7 pictures of the outside of the car from different angles. Just walk around the car and take some pictures. Remember, if you're taking them on your phone, they will be time dated. So it will show, if there's ever a question, that the picture, when the picture was taken, and that's before you left the lot. Then when you come back to the lot, you go around and take the same series of pictures. You should take a couple of pictures of the interior, probably the front console and this front seating area. It takes a few minutes, and it's a pain in the rear end. But the rental car companies are known for nickel and diming people, and sometimes they'll come back at you with a damage claim of, hey, you did this, happened to the car while you had it. If you have pictures, trust me, it's already happened to me once this year. If you have pictures and you can prove that the damage didn't happen on your watch, why, then you'll be in business. So that's what the picture-taking thing comes to. And here's another deal. Sometimes some of the employees from the car rental companies will say, hey, like the person who's checking in will say, hey, you don't need to do that. You know, I'm right here and we're doing everything. Don't let them talk you out of it. Just say, that's okay. This is just for my records. You take the pictures and off you go. I really recommend taking pictures of the inside and the outside of the car, both before you take it out of the lot and when you come back. And don't take them with a regular camera unless the camera has time dating on it.
We are the Travel Guys, coming to the end of the show. Final question, the song at the end of the show. Someone wanted to know a little bit more about it.
It is called Days Are Numbers by the Alan Parsons Project. It was released in 1985. It's also called The Traveler. And when I first heard it, I thought it was particularly great for this program. So remember to dance like nobody's watching. Enjoy the music, and we'll see you next week here on The Travel Guys.
Stay well, my friends. Be a traveler.